Yeah, life. Life was difficult, so yo, I'm gonna try not to cry, but we can do it. Lord's good. Exactly, we have tissues, and yeah, the Lord cried, so I can cry. It's fine. In that time period, I was 14, back in Kuruman, so moved like 7 schools already. So didn't really have any solid friends, and all of the solid friends weren't good friends, and and yeah, at home life wasn't well. My parents were heavily drinking and stuff, and the home situation just wasn't a good place for me to be in. And yeah, I was trying to just survive at that point in time, just living and getting through a day. And then we moved again, and this was about 16-ish. We moved to Kimberley again. And yeah, here's where things kind of went down very badly for me. So parents were still heavily drinking. Things were just not going well. Just got bad out of a very, very bad relationship with a girl that I had no business being in. And yeah, things just weren't getting better for me. And I've always struggled with suicide growing up. And it was just like on 100% when I was 15, 16, just struggling, very difficult. Was getting into a new school. Life just wasn't well for me. And yeah, eventually, yeah, my parents actually got into the church. This was when Luan was still leading it, for those of you who knows Luan or knew Luan. He led the church, and I came in with my parents, and I was thinking of getting into the Lord, but I was kind of like, I'm going to do it alone. I don't want to do it with people, because people are going to judge me. Because at that point of time, like, the way I saw people just wasn't healthy, and all the people that I knew left or just hurt me, and you know, a lot of stuff. And so I was in a very bad mindset getting into the church in the first place. Like, I was like, ah. But then, yeah, my parents actually left the church. They didn't want to be a part of it. And I felt something. Like, I felt love from these strangers that I've now known 2 Sundays. But they've shown me love in an aspect that I could not grasp. I couldn't understand why these people cared for me. So I kind of just stuck around. And yeah, just tried my best in how I knew to love back, which was not speaking to you, but loving you from a distance. Like, yo, that guy's solid, eh? But I'm not going to speak to him. But so that's where I was when I first got into the church. I mean, there's some of you who knew me when I first got into the church, and they can testify. And yeah, but the more I went to church, the more of a hunger I got for the Lord. And I actually gave my life over. And yeah, from there, I got like this massive hunger for the Lord. Like, every altar call, like, they barely got finished with the altar call, and I raised my hand. I was like, just pray for me. I just want prayer. Just, I'm here. I want more of the Lord. I just want more. And I had a great hunger for the Lord, but I didn't know how to show love. You need love. And so, yeah, I was this hunger, but at home and at school, I was a completely different person again. And there was this void. Because, yeah, like on a Sunday and on a Tuesday when I have community, I'm running for the Lord. But for the rest of this week, I'm this person that doesn't look anything like the Lord. And then I'm like, yo, why am I not progressing? Why am I not getting closer to the Lord? It's because you could not see the Lord in my life when I was with my worldly friends, when I was in the world. You could not see the Lord in my life. So here I am trying my best to run for the Lord, but not run to the Lord to the point where I lose my worldly friends, because I really like these guys. I've known these guys for like a month now, and I think they're quite solid. I was just, the worldly mindset, it's not good. And then fast forward, let's say grade 12, and I'm kind of getting to the point where realizing like I can't live in both of these things at the same time. So I was like, yo, like I'm almost finished with high school now. And after this, I'm actually going to have to do something with my life. So I started looking into Bible schools. The first one was TMT, which some of you know. And I was actually helping a good friend of ours move, Shaul. He's not here today. But he actually recommended Rooted for me, which you can see I went to. Spoiler. So actually, we did decide to go to Rooted. But at the last 6 months of school, I was kind of like shutting down for my friends. Because I was like, I realized like, I couldn't live with these guys anymore. Like, things they were saying, the way they were living, like, it didn't fill me anymore. It didn't bring me joy anymore. I couldn't laugh at the jokes they were making anymore. They weren't, like, the Lord changed that part of me. And that was weird for me, but good, because I wanted to change. But now that I actually changed, I was like, yo. And, like, they saw it, they knew. So our relationship kind of took a big dent for the last 6 months of high school, which was good, honestly. And then, yeah, I did my interview with Rooted and stuff. I got accepted. And then I went, and that was the best year of my life. And the Lord just moved, eh? And thinking back, like, the Lord really moved this week. And when I looked, and I realized I wouldn't recognize myself anymore. Looking back, I couldn't see myself. And I thank the Lord for that, eh? I thank the Lord for it. Because I didn't like the person I was. And the Lord really moved. Yeah, Rooted wasn't easy, but it was good. And something that really stuck with me from Rooted, I'll explain what Rooted actually is. So Rooted is a discipleship journey. It's more a journey than a school that you actually work on. You work with kids. You're part of the church there. You serve the church. And you're under eldership. You're under leadership. So people care for you. They look for you every day of class. And they just love you more than anything. And a scripture that's actually imprinted at the back of it is Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And that's what Rooted was concentrating on building your relationship with the Lord. With you one-on-one with the Lord while loving the people around you. And that's what we tried our best to do. I mean, we had a saying, like, we were 12 people that was full of problems trying to look like the Lord. And that's what we were. And yeah, we had our fights, and we tried to love each other, and we failed, and then we loved each other. But we couldn't have done it without the Lord. We couldn't have done it without being rooted in him. We couldn't have done it by our own strength, and we couldn't have done it by loving each other from a distance. It was seeing each other in every aspect of life, at your worst, at your best, at 3 a.m. when you're crying, or at at worship when you're crying, or you stubbed your toe and you're crying, but in every aspect, being in each other's lives and trying to love each other. And that's where a big part of me had to change, in actually learning to love and be a part of a family. I mean, if you're sharing a house with people, you can't love them from a distance, because someone didn't do their dishes and now you need to lovingly tell them to go do the dishes, and then they lovingly tell you no and now we have a problem. But that's what it was. It was people trying to look like the Lord and trying to love each other. And one of something that's really, like, the Lord reminded me of was, we had one of our, not interviews, but we had like a check-in on people. And like one of the elders actually told us this: you are actually going to do great things once there is more of Jesus and less of you. And that really hits us, because we were realizing, like, we got comfortable when we were there. Like, we know the schedules now. We know how each other works. But we got comfortable, and we shouldn't get comfortable in our walk. We should constantly strive for more, because there's more for the Lord. There's more of the Lord for us, and there's more of the Lord for the people around you. So you actually shouldn't be sitting still, because loving someone doesn't mean just, I'll make this oak breakfast. No, I see something in your life that doesn't reflect Christ, so I'm going to go lovingly correct you, not because I want to build myself up, but I want you to look more like the Lord. And even that honesty with each other, like, yeah, I struggle with this. Like, there shouldn't be this thing of, this person does so well, like, he must be like this with the Lord. Like, he's like, God's just going to rapture him any day now. Like, he's just that close to the Lord. But we're all sinners. We're all so far from Christ, but yet we're loved by Christ. And that's a blessing. And yeah, so we did the year, and it was so good. It was so good. And a lot of healing came, and a lot of my own brokenness came through it, which I had to deal with, because there was beliefs that I still had rooted in me, but it was the wrong beliefs. And it wasn't beliefs that built up Christ, built up the people around me. And I had to get rid of that. And I physically had to go uproot those roots in me and move and throw them away, because they're not good. They are not glorifying the Lord. And it wasn't easy. It was hard. And a lot of us just want to pray and just be healed and just be perfect. But that's not what some of us are called to. It's like, you have to fight. You have to fight to change. You have to fight every day. And like, and you have to fight for your brothers. You have to fight for your sisters. You have to care for them. We are part of a church. We are part of a family that cares for each other. I mean, if you go to John 15, 12 to 13. My command is love. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. I think we all know the scripture, and when we think of it, like, I'll lay my life down, I'll die for my friends, but will you lay down your Saturday to go convict your friend of something that doesn't look like the Lord? And when someone convicts you, are you going to love that person and see where they're coming from? Or are you just going to be like, no, they don't know me, they aren't my elder, they can't tell me what to do? No. Love doesn't just mean sacrificing yourself. It means sacrificing something within you. That means I'll sacrifice my not wanting to speak in front of the church and share my whole backstory and do it because I want you to look more like the Lord. I want you to be built up. This isn't nice. This isn't comfortable. I'm not used to this, but I'm doing this out of love, out of a place of love for you guys and all of the love you've shown for me. This is the heart of it. This is the love. Like, when we have an off duck we need to go build on a Saturday, we go do it because we love that person. When a person's child is acting up, we lovingly go tell that person, your child's acting up. And we do all of these things out of love, but I think it's so easy for us to get this mindset of, yo, this person isn't building me up right now, so he isn't loving me, which isn't love. It is love to convict you, friend. It is love. And when we look at that scripture, to love like Jesus, Jesus died for the people that hated him. Hated him, killed him. He died for them. And that's love. And Jesus tells us to love like that. And Jesus brought correction to his disciples. Jesus brought correction to these people. And Jesus sacrificed a lot out of love. And that's basically the core that I want to impart here, is love. To just to bring love. Yeah, I remember one of the things that really hit me when I first got into the church was, I'm trying to love these people, but I'm not showing them real love. But despite that, they're showing me love. They're inviting me to the braais. They're loving on me when I'm not exactly showing love back to them. And if that's something we can impart into other people, like, when someone actually comes and hates you, love them. Because you don't know what that instills into someone. We are not called to look like the world. We are called to be different. And being different means loving in all circumstances. Which, it's not fun nor easy. But man, like, let Jesus be the center. And let Jesus be the center that you're overflowing from. Let everything you do be an overflow of what he's imparted into you. Because man, he's imparted so much into us that we don't even realize. Like, actually, I would like everyone, when we go home tonight, like, lay back and like really think, like, how you were. And like, if you can still recognize yourself, then I'll be surprised. Because you can't. You can't say you're a Christian, love the Lord, and look back like, oh yeah, no, I'm still like that person. Like, you can't be. Because the Lord brings change and he brings love. Yeah, I'm just trying to feel if the Lord wants Anything else? Yeah, I think I'll share bits about this year's journey. So this year was different, very different for me, where last year I was surrounded by such young guys, and I'm still surrounded by young guys, don't get it twisted. But like, it was so different because we had so much free time. And we just went and did things. We just went and saw different churches, went and visited people like every day. And like, when we're coming back here, like, we don't really do that stuff because there's not much to do in Kimberley. Or a lot of people, that's, everyone's here is working or has a child. So you're trying to navigate it. But I realized like the Lord convicted me because I was like complaining. I was like, yo, Lord, no one's ever doing anything, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything about it. So ever since then, I'm just trying to like meet with more people and just try to love people more and meet and even be more intentional with the people I meet with. Because I think when we meet with people, it's so easy just to stay there because we don't want to go a bit deeper because it's going to be awkward and maybe next time this person doesn't invite me for a coffee again. But yeah, I wanna ask us to do that. Like, go meet with people and don't be afraid to like convict them. Like, bring like love, lovingly, obviously. Lovingly bring conviction. And if you see something like sin, convict that. Don't just convict them for your own, yeah, topic for a different day. But yeah, I think I'll end it there.
Well, thanks, John, for sharing. And I know it's not easy. I know, especially when it comes back to your hometown. And like you said, there are people here who knew you before you got saved. And you, so, and I wanna commend John this morning as well. Is he could have come back to Kimberley and went like, you guys all have work and kids, and you don't understand my age. And he could have just went his own way. But he was like, no, the Lord added me here, and this is where I'm going to serve. And I spoke to him the other day. I had the privilege of having one of those coffees with him, just sit there in my lounge and just be with him for a while. And how he gave the Lord the chance actually to work in him. So he came back in 2025, January, and for the first, what it was, about 2 months, he was just chilling in his room. And I was like, yeah, this guy just came back from Rooted. Like, shouldn't he be running around for Jesus? Like, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus, you know, that type of thing. And about 2 months into the year, we were chilling in the swimming pool, and he said to me, like, he realized that even though other people and a bunch of us, me including me, we have kids and work and everyday life and all of this stuff, we can't always organize stuff. And his words to me was, but that shouldn't stop me. And ever since then, he's been organizing stuff. Whenever I hear, there's been a game night, there's been a paddle, there's been a bride, there's been a this, there's been a that. And he has been influencing and spending time with so many people that I'm jealous, okay? Because I'm not able to do that. But that's part of church life. Because as some of us start families and have this and those type of things, God adds new people. He adds younger people again who has the time and the freedom to do those type of things again. And we have the opportunity to model family. And he adds a little bit older people into the family. Little bit older. To family, to model what it is to be older in the faith. And to be steadfast in the faith. And so a whole family of Christ and of believers comes together. And I mean, we are missing quite a few this morning. But we know that together we have the opportunity to glorify God and bring honor to Him and show people around us what His love looks like. Because our love is selfish. We can't love the world like we should without God, as John shared. Let's close our eyes and land this morning. Lord, thank you again and again and again for your love and your mercy that you pour out onto us every single day, Lord. That you love us so much that every single day is new love and new mercy, Lord. And you don't leave us with yesterday's stuff, yesterday's testimonies and yesterday's love and mercy, but you give us to us new every single day, Lord. And my prayer this morning is that when we wake up, that we will look to you first, that we will turn our eyes to you and know where our strength comes from. And whatever we go through, whenever we go through stuff, because we go through stuff, because we live in a sinful world, Lord, that we will keep our eyes on you, knowing that you want us to look more like you. You want us to become holy. Like you are. And we know that's for one day when we go home to you, Lord. But as we walk on this earth, may we seek you and may we keep on changing so that we may look more like you, so that we're able to show people the more of you. I ask that we will love one another the way that you love us, that we'll lay down our lives like Jesus laid down his life, Lord, and that we will put you first in every aspect of our lives. Amen.